Good morning. We will continue our study on the instances where God called Moses unto himself and revealed certain aspects of his person and his program. Just want to read one verse as we start this morning from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, let's look into the thought. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together before thy word this morning. Father, as we look into thy word, may the Spirit of God lead us, Father, in the direction that you want us to take us, Father, to understand the scripture, the particular portion that we are looking at. Pray that it may bring great blessings upon our life, and that we may understand your will, your plan for us, and we may offer worthy sacrifices which is acceptable unto thee, Father. Guide us this morning. Thank you, Father, for bringing us, all of us, together. And we look to your face and we ask this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, as I mentioned, we are looking at the fifth time that God called Moses unto himself. And we have covered the four instances prior to this where God called Moses unto himself. And each time, God was revealing certain aspects of his person and his expectations. The first time, Exodus chapter 3, God revealed his person. And the second time, in Exodus 19, he revealed his principles. Third time, in Exodus 19, verse 20, he revealed his purity. And in Exodus 24, 16, he revealed his pattern to Moses. And in the fifth time, as we look at verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord called unto Moses, and he is speaking unto Moses out of the tabernacle. So each of the revelation that God revealed to Moses had certain purpose in it, and I don't want to go into it in detail, but the final revelation, the fifth time, the purpose is consecration, or it's about offering, how one can bring the offerings before God. Not only it's limited to, believe, not limited to the offerings, but it is applicable to everything that is happening in the book of Leviticus. God is, you know, revealing his will to the people, not only in terms of the bringing in offerings, but giving guidance to the priest, and also talks about their gathering and certain things they need to separate themselves. And so God is giving a list of things that they need to follow and fulfill, and the offerings is just the beginning part of it. So God is revealing his pleasure, what he deserves. Now, when we come into the presence of God, now, God, what God deserves, and what are the items in which God is pleased. And that's the summary of message that we are going to look at this morning. Now, when we come to this is just the outline of what we are going to look at from this portion. We will look at the place from where the Lord is speaking, because that's important here. Then we also look at the preparation for the offerings. What are the things that did take place prior to this that would enable the people to bring offerings before God? What preparation need to be there in place so that people can bring the offerings before God? And also, we'll look at the pleasure in the offerings. What, you know, in what way God is going to be pleased with their offerings? So we will look into that, these main points in detail as we start here. And now, so one thing that we notice here is the place has changed. Now the Lord is speaking out of the tabernacle. He's speaking from the the tabernacle previously, as we observe in chapter 19 and 24, there we read about the Lord came upon that mount, Mount Sinai, and God called Moses unto himself, and he began to speak to him. So when we look at those passages, we see that there is something different there. There was thunderings and lightnings and cloud, and there was the voice of great trumpet, and it was so exceedingly loud, and the people trembled. And so we see all this happening prior to this, and also in chapter 24, it was like the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire upon the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. So all these things, God mightily displayed His glory, His holiness to the people of God. So they are very familiar with who God is, and the message there was, you need to keep the separation, right? They need to do certain things. They need to sanctify. They should not come up or come nigh. And all these things were there. So God is revealing His standard, His holiness during those instances. And God laid out the laws and commandments which they have to follow. So when once God instituted all these things and the tabernacle, now it's time for God to come down. So now God came down, and He's speaking out of the tabernacle. So as we look at the last chapter of Exodus, the tabernacle, everything, all the furnishings were finished, and they were erected, and the cloud came down upon the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord was fully manifested there. So God came down. So there's a change in the venue. The Lord is coming down. And that's exactly what God wants to do. So, you know, God wants to dwell among them. God wants to commune with them. God wants to accept their praises and thanksgiving, their sacrifices. But there are certain things that need to be fulfilled so that they can approach this holy and mighty God. So the first message was, you know, God is unapproachable. He's holy. He's like a devouring fire. You should not come near God. Everything that touches the mount will die. But now God has set up everything, and God is coming down, and He's speaking to Moses, and He's revealing Himself to the people to convey this message to the people. Now, we have a wonderful illustration by Brother Bilson, and we see, you know, Moses looking at God, and He's coming to the tabernacle, and God is, you know, His glory is being manifested there, and God is speaking from the tabernacle. Thank you, Bilson, for this picture, and you referred in that, and praise God for that. So now, as God came down upon the tabernacle, one thing that we notice here is that what enabled God to come down, or what makes God to dwell among them. And as we read this book of Leviticus, we understand that one thing that enables God to be in their midst is the blood of atonement. We see later in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, let me just read that. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with the finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood that as she did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So the blood shields them before God. So there God took His place in the tabernacle. God came down in glory and mercy. We see the grace of God. God, who is holy and righteous, is showing His mercy to His people, And God is opening that way for them to approach God. And the only way that they could approach God is through that blood. And we notice that there, the priest, the people, and the place has to be atoned or has to be sprinkled so that they may be sanctified, so that God could dwell among them. So God is coming down. God is speaking out of the tabernacle. And what enabled that to happen is the blood that is sprinkled before the mercy seat. We know that people, they are not worthy to come before the presence of God, but sacrifices have been offered, atonement has been done for them, so that God could continue to dwell among them, and they can bring offering before the presence of God. And we know that, you know, they could only come at the door of the tabernacle where the sacrifice is being offered. Now, when we look at it in the New Testament perspective, God came down to us, right? Hebrews 1:2 says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." You know, this God came down in flesh. And John 1:14 says that he dwelt among us, or he tabernacled among us. So he came down in flesh. And also what John says there is that full of grace and truth. Now, apart from that grace and truth, God could not come down and dwell among us. How gracious is our God. You know, this great and awesome God who manifested his matchless holiness upon that mount came down and he dwelt among sinful people. We see his grace. And also not only that he came down, he also finished the work of salvation. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." So the same God. No, God who has that brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin. This great God did the work of salvation for us, purged our sins, and he sat down on the right hand of majesty. Now we can come before him. Now we can come into the presence of God. Now much more closer than the children of Israel did under the old covenant. We could come into the very presence of God, into the inner sanctuary. Now let's look at the second aspect of it, that is the preparation of the offerings. Now, as I said, there are four components involved in the preparation of the offerings. First of all, we see that preparing the person, right? A person was being prepared. So God has this great plan, right? So God is revealing all these things in pieces and working out over time so that his desire of dwelling with this people, his own people, would be fulfilled. So what we see in Exodus chapter 3, when God called Moses, one of the things that he emphasized here there was chapter 3, verse 14 to 18, we see God is saying that, "I am that I am, and thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover to Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob hath sent me unto you." And also he is telling Moses to convey this message to Pharaoh. So God wants to bring this people. God wants to redeem this people. And at the end of that verse 18, we see the purpose of it, that they may sacrifice to the Lord our God. That's the ultimate purpose of their redemption. So God wants to take them out of Egypt, out of bondage, so that they can come into the presence of God and offer sacrifice to God. So we see a person is being prepared, Moses. And we see all these things, you know, pieces put together when we finally come to the book of Leviticus, we see this is fulfilled. So that involves a person. You know, is it wonderful to know that God had a wonderful plan of redemption, eternal plan of redemption, to release us from the power of Satan and make us eligible to worship God? You know, God had this wonderful plan even before sin ever came into this world, that plan of salvation that's going to be fulfilled through Lord Jesus Christ to take us out of the hands of the enemy, from the power of Satan, and bring us to experience this wonderful fellowship with God and make us eligible to bring sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. All praise and glory to His name for Lord Jesus Christ. And in contrast to that, we have in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 to 6, talking about the faithfulness of Moses. And also, we see Jesus even is worthy of more glory than Moses, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. So, you know, you have God prepared Moses in the Old Testament and did that great, wonderful work of redemption and also enabled people to come before God and offer sacrifices. But on the other hand, as we come into the New Testament, we see a greater Moses, one who is worthy of more glory than Moses. And he brings us into the presence of God because of his greater position. He is the creator. He controls everything. He is the son. He is the heir. He is the heir of all things. So he has a greater position and greater power to accomplish God's purposes. So we see the greatness of our great high priest. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So, no, we have this great high priest, one who is greater than Moses, who is prepared so that we can bring offerings and sacrifices before God. So, God prepared the person. Now he's preparing a place. No, there has to be a place where they can bring the offering. And that's what he is doing in the book of Exodus. And there we read in Exodus 29, verses 42 to 46, read of the earthly tabernacle. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you. And also, verse 44, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. So not only that he gave the pattern to them, that the pattern has to be sanctified constantly. And because God is going to meet with the people, so it has to be at that the appropriate place. So chapter 29 speaks of the process that the priest must go through for their consecration. They have to go through several steps, and they must be they are sanctified, they are anointed, they are consecrated, they are they are prepared, and the place, the earthly tabernacle, is being prepared there, and they are just sanctified so that they can have the access to come and bring offering and sacrifices to God. And this is in contrast to the New Testament sanctuary. We read in Hebrews 8:2, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. So this is entirely new tabernacle, new and separate. It's not connected with the Old Testament tabernacle. This is completely new, a true tabernacle which not man is not made up by man, or no man worked in erecting it, is by the Lord Himself. And also, it's a greater tabernacle. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So, how privileged that we are to be part of this tabernacle, which the Lord pitched Himself, and it is entirely new tabernacle, not connected with the old tabernacle, separate, holy, and God has prepared the place for us and given us the access to come before Him so that we can offer praises and thanksgiving. And after preparing the person, the place, He's also preparing the priesthood. That's what we see happening here in Exodus 28, verses 41 to 43. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron and his brother, his sons, and with him, and shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So now God gave them this direction. They pass through these steps of consecration, and they are anointed, consecrated, and sanctified. They are fully prepared so that they can, you know, stand between the people and the holy God. And these men are privileged to function before God as priests, and because they are anointed and consecrated, and the sphere of their service is in the very dwelling place of God. So that's very significant. They are standing in the presence of God and interceding for the people. So they are given this great responsibility, standing before this holy God and interacting with people and helping them with their sacrifice. And another thing that we notice is that these are men of infirmity, right? Hebrews 5:1-4 talks about that. In verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now, they are sinful people. They are taken from sinful men. But they are given this great responsibility. And that's what, so they have to offer sacrifices for themselves, then for the people. And that's what we see in the Day of Atonement, where the priest and the people and the place, they all need to be atoned so that, you know, God's presence may continue to be among them. So these men die, they are sinful, and they have to, you know, constantly offer sacrifices for themselves so that they can continue to function in the presence of this holy and righteous God. And this, in contrast to our great high priest, is quite different, as we read in Hebrews, details of our the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we see in Hebrews 7:23-28, where he extensively talks about the greatness of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Contrast to men who die, but his priesthood continues forever. Unchangeable priesthood. It never ends. It goes on. In the Old Testament, you know, the high priest dies and another high priest takes that position. But our high priest lives forever. He continues. And not only that he continues, he is holy, harmless, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And he does not have to offer sacrifice for himself or his sins because he is holy. And but he offered himself for the sins of the world, for other people. So, you know, and let's think of this in terms of our responsibility, you know, standing with this great high priest. We are functioning, or we are exercising our Christian priesthood as New Testament Christians. You know, we are standing along with this great high priest and exercising our responsibility as priests. And let us realize the holiness and what this great God requires from us as we execute our priestly service before Him. Now let's look at the fourth aspect of it, the preparation. That's the people. So we had the person, the place, and the priesthood, and the fourth component to that is the people. You know, as we see here, you know, in Exodus, a sanctuary is being prepared for the worshipper. So God gave instructions for building that sanctuary. But when you come to the Leviticus, the worshipper is prepared to fit into that sanctuary. And that's what the Lord elaborates in this wonderful revelation to Moses. You know, how these people can be prepared so that they can come before God and offer the sacrifices. But when we look at the Old Testament sacrifices, we are all familiar with that, is that, you know, Hebrews 10:3 and 4, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. There was that remembrance of sin. Now the people, they have to be constantly prepared, right? So every year they have to offer that sacrifices, or whenever, you know, the sin against God, they have to bring that offering, and the blood of bulls and goats will not take away sins forever. And that's, you know, how the people are being prepared. They are constantly reminded of their sin. But when we come to the New Testament, you know, God has given us this boldness to come into the presence of God, because Hebrews 10:18-22, now where remission of this is, there is no more offering of sin. We are completely forgiven because the Lord Jesus Christ, His death has removed the judgment of God. It has removed the sin from our life and given us the boldness to enter into the holiest because the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the blood in the Old Testament, the atonement, but this blood, you know, it's forever. And it is the way to into the presence of God. No, it's not separating us from us and God like in the Old Testament, but we come through the pathway. We come through the living, new and living way. So it is not separating us, but it is bringing us into the very presence of God. And that's the difference as I find here. There, that blood was between God and the people in the Old Testament, but this, in the New Testament, the blood of Lord Jesus Christ assures us into the presence of God. There is nothing between us and God. And the blood enables us, or gives us the way, gives us the right to come into the presence of God. And let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. into the very presence of God, and God is preparing us to offer sacrifices to Him. So we see now God, through Lord Jesus Christ, made a provision for us to come into the presence of God. He is the person, He is the means, He is the high priest. And there's no more repeated sacrifices needed, because the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that by that one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Now let me come to the New Testament, our position in contrast to the Old Testament. Now we are prepared as lively stones. We are part of this holy priesthood, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and also Revelation 1, 5 and 6. We are lively stones, are built up as spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are part of this building. We are part of this temple. We are part of this great program of God. And He has made us holy, and the purpose or the responsibility that God has given us is to offer spiritual sacrifices. Much more, you know, we enjoy the presence of God much more than the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. Now we are part of it. God transformed us. God has changed us. God, you know, made us this provision to come into the presence of God and be part of Himself. And that's what I find is very encouraging to us. Not that we come before Him. We are part of Him. We are part of this great structure that God has put together and given this great responsibility to offer sacrifices along with our great high priest. And Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone upon which, you know, we are placed. What a great privilege that we have. Now let's come to the last aspect of it, that is the pleasure in the offerings. Just want to make it very brief and quick here. The pleasure in the offerings, what God delights in these offerings, and we have to understand it, look at it in the perspective of God's pleasure that he had when He saw the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was fully delighted in Son's obedience and His ultimate offering on the cross of Calvary. As we go through this chapter 1 to 5, basically talking about the offerings, one thing that we notice here is that the sacrifices must be acceptable to God. Right? It has to be acceptable. And acceptable worship is based on an acceptable sacrifice. It is very specific when God says that, you know, let him offer a male without blemish, and the pattern is similar to all the other offerings as well, without blemish, you know, without any defect. God wants the very best, right? And the very best is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one can replace it. And God delights in that, delights in the very best. And when that person brings that animal, it is to be without blemish. When that person offers that, it is a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. God delights in that. When we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God was pleased with His Son. He gave Himself unto Father as an offering for a sweet-smelling Savior, as we read in Ephesians 5. So God was delighted in His Son because of His perfection, because He offered Himself on the cross of Calvary. So one thing that we need to be reminded is that what the offering that we bring before God is, it has to be of the highest standard. It has to meet the strict scrutiny of God, that it could, you know, God will be pleased with that without blemish. Another thing that we see is that it is voluntary on the part of the offerer. He's not asking them to bring this offering. God says that in verse 2, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. No, it is purely voluntary. And that's what God delights. And that's what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill the will of God. No, he came voluntarily. He said, you know, I am ready to offer myself for the redemption of the world. So it was the voluntary offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he delights in when we come before him and voluntarily offer praises and thanksgiving to God. And also, another thing that we notice here is that this based on the affordability and the apprehension of the offer, they can bring a bullock, a goat, or a turtle dove or pigeons. So, depending on how capable they are, based on their affordability, they can bring these sacrifices before God. And there's a room for them to choose what they can bring before God. And also it shows the apprehension of the offer. You know, if we are in that position to offer or bring that bullock, we need to bring that bullock. Right? So, look at it as, if God has given us a greater appreciation of Christ, we need to bring that before God. So what we try to do is, to understand Christ, understand the sacrifices, understand this person, Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do in our worship is lifting up Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can bring a more costly offering, if I can put in this word, before God. Something that we can afford to the highest. Something that we can appreciate greatly about Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given them that option to choose from. And another thing to conclude here is the order of the sacrifices. Here, when we look at chapter 1 to 5, God begins with burnt offering, meat offering, peace offering, sin offering, and the trespass offering. So God started with what is more precious to him. This is similar to what God did when God revealed the plan of the tabernacle. He started with what was most precious to him, starting from the most holy place. The vessels that need to be God revealed started from the most holy place where he's going to dwell. So God started with what is more precious to him, and he ended with what is most needed for man. So started with the burnt offering, and he ended with what man needs the most, that's the trespass offering and the sin offering. There's an order for man, which starts with the sin offering. So the very first time the sin offering is mentioned is Exodus 19:14, concerning the in connection with the consecration of Aaron and his sons. They need to offer that bullock as sin offering the very first time it is mentioned. So we don't read about the sin offering prior to that. Romans 5:13-14 talks about a little bit about that. It says that, for until the law was in the world, sin is not imputed when there is no law. So once the law was put in place, now God gave the provision of sin offering. And that's what man needed the most. Man needed that sin offering. And thank God for Lord Jesus Christ, who made that provision for us. So all the aspects of this wonderful offerings is being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we conclude, God delights in communing with us. God wants to dwell among us. He is delighted in our sacrifices. And as we come before Him, let's make sure that it is acceptable before God. We bring the right sacrifice. Let us understand and bring what we can afford, what we can bring before God that would be pleasing to Him. Let's continue to glorify God, and let us continue to engage in our priestly service and bring wonderful offerings before Him. Amen. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. From Thy Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to guide us as we exercise our responsibility as priests, along with our great High Priest, to bring offerings that are worthy and pleasing to You, Father. Thank You, Father, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit upon us, and we may apply this, Father, in the days to come to bring glory and honor to You. In Jesus Christ's name, pray. Amen.